If you'd please be seated for the scripture reading. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and today we're using the Common English Bible. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you the least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened their treasure chest and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Phil, and Hugh, and choir, and of course, Jill and Sam, for all you do, and worship our ushers, our greeters this morning. We appreciate all you do to lead in worship this morning. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our receiving. Amen. Today our text is one that is very familiar to us. And quite often when we hear a familiar text, we wonder, what else is there in it for us to glean? We hear those stories year after year, as this is a part of the continuation of the Christmas story. Epiphany is actually the 12th day of Christmas. If you follow the traditional 12 days of Christmas, it is the 12th day of Christmas. And so we're celebrating it a couple of days late rather than last Sunday, which was just a week after the birth of Jesus was celebrated. But we hear this story and we think about these men. We always think three, and we have three images here on the altar. But we think of three because there were three gifts. But nowhere in Matthew's gospel does he say that there were three magi who visited Jesus. Just that there were some men who went to seek Jesus, and they brought with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three different gifts. There could have been 100 of them with all of that. Who knows? But we think of just the three. And so our nativity scenes over the years have had the three wise men as a part of them. But sometime after his birth, a group of men from what most scholars believe to be Persia saw an unusual star in the sky. How many of you like the night sky? I heard some hmms. I love the night sky. And it's nice when you can be somewhere where you don't have a lot of light traffic light pollution, where you can look out and you can see the stars without any kind of hindrance. But a lot of times we don't take notice of what's in the sky. But these men were watchers of the night sky. They were called magi, which comes from the Greek word magus, which means one of a learned and priestly class. So they were very educated. They were of a higher class than your standard person was. But in Persia, they would have been considered magicians. Now, we may think of magicians like Houdini, Harry Houdini, and David Copperfield, those sleight of hand kind of people. But magicians in those times were ones who did observe the stars, and they were able to kind of foretell what might happen. They had a different respect than other people did. They had a wide breadth of knowledge. They were mathematicians, astronomy. They knew about astronomy and astrology, medicine, alchemy, the interpretation of dreams, and of history. So in that way, even Joseph may have been considered in his day, not Joseph, Jesus' father, but Joseph in the Old Testament, may have been considered a magician because he interpreted dreams. They weren't kings themselves, so why we call them kings, I'm not sure. But they were often advisors to kings, because they were trusted and they were sought out because they were able to interpret signs and to guide and to lead. And so in many ways, it's fitting that this story of the Magi comes right after the first of the year for us. We've just celebrated New Year's. And so as we come into this new year, we come with a lot of expectations. We come with a lot of expectations. What are you expecting this year? You don't have to answer that. But what are some things you are expecting to happen in your life this year? Some of you may be expecting retirement, and so you're looking forward to that and making plans for that. Some of you might be expecting a new grandchild, and so you're hurriedly buying those things to welcome that new grandchild into your family. You might be expecting a wonderful trip, a trip of a lifetime that you've never taken before. And so you're getting all of your ducks in a row for that and hoping and praying that the airlines don't mess up. You might be expecting to buy a new car or to downsize your home, to get into a smaller home as you're beginning to age a little bit. A lot of expectations we have as we go into a new year. And of course, we have those expectations that we make, those New Year's resolutions. How many made New Year's resolutions? Y'all are smart. Because what happens when we make New Year's resolutions? They last about a week and then they're gone. But some people make those resolutions and they expect to be true to them and then grow disappointed in themselves when they're not. Well, in many ways, the story of the Magi is about expectations. It is about expectations. And they had some pretty great expectations. First of all, they expected divine messages to be revealed in creation. They expected divine messages to be revealed in creation. Now, some of us may hear that and we think, now that's a little strange. But when we look back at things, we realize that's not as strange as we might perceive it to be. William Barclay indicated in his Daily Bible Studies commentary that in ancient times, most everyone believed the stars contained revelations and messages for keen observers, writing. It is not difficult to see how the belief arose. The stars pursue their unvarying courses. They represent the order of the universe. If then there suddenly appeared some brilliant star, if the unvarying order of the heavens was broken by some special phenomenon, it did look as if God was breaking into his old order and announcing something special. So they looked at the stars and they saw it was the same routine, day after day and season after season. But yet when there was something spectacular that happened, they began to question, what is this message that God might be giving us? Again, this shouldn't surprise us, because God has spoken to people through his creation throughout history. Didn't he place a rainbow in the sky as a covenant after the flood, assuring Noah and his family that he would no longer destroy the earth with water? He used the extremes of creation to get Pharaoh's attention, much to Pharaoh's chagrin, and it finally took even the death of his own firstborn for his attention to be received. The psalmist writes, "The heaven declares the glory of God." And one of my favorite passages, God addresses Job with that beautiful litany of God's power in creation, telling Job through the parts of creation how powerful he is, questioning Job, were you there when all of these things happened? Could you do them? Only the power of God could. And then Jesus also used examples of nature in his teachings. So why would it surprise us that these men would have been seeking messages from the divine in the stars? And because of that expectation, they were constantly searching the sky. They were always on the lookout, always expecting a message to come. Today we have to ask ourselves, do we expect God to reveal himself to us in the surrounding world? Do we go out in the morning as we begin our day and expect that God is going to somehow reveal himself to us, whether it be in creation or in another person or even in a situation that we might find ourselves in? When we go out and we look at the night sky, do we expect God to reveal himself in the glory of the night sky? Are we taking time to be observant, to hear the messages that God has for us in nature, in others, even in various experiences in life? One Lent, it was actually Maundy Thursday or Good Friday, we were doing the Stations of the Cross at one of the churches that I served. And we were having some issues with the screen, of course, which happens quite often. And so we didn't have the images on the screen that we had hoped to have of those various stations, but yet we were reading the scripture. And it was a day kind of like today, cloudy, threatening rain. This was a metal building, so you could hear the rain as we hear it now. And I got to the part where the women were weeping. And all of a sudden, there was just this deluge on the top of that roof. And all of us just kind of, and it made us think about the pain of Jesus' crucifixion. The pain that those present experienced as they witnessed that. And that was a moment where we felt God connecting with us through those droplets hitting, pounding on the roof of that building. God speaking to us through his creation. The wise men, the magi, remind us to take time to be observant, to look for where God might be speaking to us each and every day, and to be aware of those so that we don't miss those opportunities to experience his message. The magi also expected this star to guide them. They set out on a journey, and all they had was this star to lead their way. They didn't have any old-fashioned fold-out Rand McNally map. They certainly didn't have a GPS. All they had was this star, and they trusted that star would get them to their destination. They expected to arrive in one piece. And interestingly, I thought about this morning, that if they were relying on this star, then they were doing most of their traveling at night, which was the least safe time for people to be traveling. But yet they expected this star would get them to where they needed to go. Again, that shouldn't surprise us, because God has continued to lead his people throughout history. God led the Israelites through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The psalmist writes that God's word is a lamp for our feet, a light to our path. And Jesus calls himself the light of the world and says that whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so we shouldn't be surprised that they had enough faith and trust in this star, that they expected this star to help them reach their destination. It calls us to question, do we expect God to guide us today? Or do we often set off in our own little routes and we think, you know, I know how to get there. And then all of a sudden we get to either a dead end or maybe there's a roadblock. The road's been closed for a reason and we have to figure out, where are we going to go? How am I going to get there? And we have to backtrack. Except for if we were to begin off and lead off by following God, then God would help us to reach the destination to which He is calling us. When I lived in New Mexico, I had to go to Dallas for the psychologicals that we have to do for ordination. And at that time, I was diaconal minister, so consecration as a diaconal minister. So I had to go to Dallas in order to do that. I had never been to Dallas in my life. And I drove, and I got in, started to get close to Dallas, and all of a sudden there was this long line of traffic, and it just come to a dead halt. And so I thought, what am I going to do? So this was way before GPSs in cars and on cell phones. Didn't even have a cell phone, and didn't have a map with me. My dad would have shot me if he'd been in the car with me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get off here, and I'm just going to roam until I find my way, in Dallas, mind you. But lo and behold, I did. And I think it was because my dad always gave me a good nose. But I got off trusting. I got off trusting, not afraid that I would get lost, not afraid that I wouldn't get to my destination. I got off trusting, knowing that I was there for a purpose. And if I'm there for a purpose, God is going to make sure that I achieve that purpose. And so I trusted God to guide me, even on those roads, those streets of Dallas that I was not familiar with. And so not too long after that, I found my way back onto the interstate, past where the backup had started, and was able to get to my destination on time. Was I a little scared? Of course I was. But I made it on time. Do we trust God to guide us? We're going to be going into a visioning process soon with our leadership. And we're going to be asking God to guide us to His preferred future for us. Are we as a church going to trust God to guide us, expect God to lead us to that preferred future? The Magi also went to Bethlehem expecting to meet a newborn king. The passage doesn't give us any indication that they ever questioned whether or not there was a king to be born. In fact, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they simply asked, "Where is he? Where is he?" Not, "Hey, by the way, has there been a child born lately that we need to know about?" They went with confidence, expecting that Jesus, that this newborn king, had indeed come into the world. They didn't doubt. They didn't worry about whether or not they were right or wrong. In fact, they were so confident too that they even took gifts. They even took gifts in order to give this king, because they knew when they arrived, this king was going to be there. Barclay also writes, "It may seem to us extraordinary that these men should set out from the east to find a king. But the strange thing is, just about the time Jesus was born, there was in the world a strange feeling of expectation of the coming of a king." So there was this air of expectation in the world that a king would be born. Even the Roman historians knew about this. Not so much very later than this, Suetonius could write, "There had spread over all the Orient an old and established belief that it was fated at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world." And then Tacitus tells us of the same belief, that there was a firm persuasion that at this very time the East was to grow powerful and rulers coming from Judea were to acquire universal empire. So there was already an expectation in the air about them that a special king would be born. And so when that star shone in the sky, they knew what it was telling them, and they went expecting that they would indeed meet that king. Herod should have known the prophecies, but when asked, he was dumb. He had to ask himself, "What's this all about?" But yet they knew, and they were expecting. And so it begs the question of us, do we expect to meet Jesus? When we get up on Sunday mornings and we're preparing to come to worship, do we expect to encounter Jesus here? Do we expect to meet Jesus when we gather together? Whether it be in the music, whether it be in the word, whether it be in the table, whether it be in each other, or all of those, do we expect to meet Jesus? When we sit down and spend time in prayer and study, do we expect to meet Jesus in our time of prayer? Do we expect to meet Jesus as we read Scripture? Tomorrow, and as we begin our centering prayer, part of that time that we will be sharing together will be shared together in silence. And we're uncomfortable with silence for the most part, aren't we? Because so much of our world is filled with noise. But that silence is intentional so that we, in that silence, we can truly meet Jesus as we prepare ourselves inwardly to do so. And do we expect to meet Jesus when we serve? When we are serving others in the name of Jesus Christ, do we expect to meet Jesus in the face of the other person? Do we expect that through that service, that not only are we hoping their lives will be transformed, but that our lives will be transformed as well? All of us that have worked in some type of missions or participated in that have experienced that transformation. If you work with children, sometimes those things that children say just hit you right in the heart and you leave changed. Do we expect to meet Jesus? The Magi went expecting to meet Jesus. We need to have that same expectation today. Lastly, the Magi went also expecting that they would be received. They went expecting that they would be received. As I mentioned, they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. The Western Church celebrates Epiphany as the Gentiles, the faith opening up to the Gentile world. And so they went as outsiders to meet this Jewish king, one who was born to a people with very strict rules about what was clean and unclean. But yet they went expecting that when they arrived, they would not be turned away, that they would be welcomed, and that he would be open to them. Has there ever been a time in your life when you have felt unwelcomed? For all of us, I'm sure that we've had that experience at some point. Have you ever been turned away? And not because you didn't have a ticket for something, you know, like a concert or a ball game, but ever been turned away by a group because they just did not want you there? That could have very easily have happened to these men. Yet they went expecting that they would be welcomed and received. It calls us to think about those that come to us, whether it be on Sunday morning as we gather for worship, whether it be during the week as people might come here to use our facility or to participate in other things going on, or just to ask for help, whether it be those that come to us in the community. Do we welcome the outsider? Do we receive them and make them feel a part of us? Do we let them know that they are indeed received as one of us? The Magi expected to be received. Shouldn't we want guests who come to us to feel that way as well? And so there's a lot of expectations that these men had. Great expectations. But the same expectations that we too should have as followers of Jesus Christ. This morning we We celebrate what they have shown us, the faith with which they went forward, as they help us to have those same expectations when we come to see Jesus. On the night that Jesus met with his disciples were not expecting what they encountered. They were expecting to celebrate the Passover, but they were not expecting him to share with them the message that he did. They were not expecting him to announce that he would be leaving them soon, even though he'd been preparing them for that. And they certainly did not expect a betrayer to be in their midst. But yet that's what they encountered. Because of that, we can come to this table expecting that this bread and this cup do represent the body and blood of Christ. That they are symbols of his love for us, that gift of life he has given us. And so today we come to celebrate.
If you'd please be seated for the scripture reading. Today's reading.